say a few words as we prepare for that this morning. There's so many places that we could go. Of course, we're locked into our study, or we're into our study in the book of Matthew. And honestly, I'm torn with where to go this morning, because for a number of reasons. It's not often that I come to stand here and I'm still battling between two things to say. Sorry guys, we're going to change it. We're going to go back to Matthew 6. I was going to go to 1 Corinthians 11, but I'm going to go back to Matthew 6. Because we've been talking about this issue. Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount here, and he is telling us what it means to live as part of his kingdom. Part of his kingdom, meaning that we understand that Jesus is the Lord, that he's the ruler, that he's the king. He's telling us his kingdom agenda, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Remember, we've been through that. We've talked chapter 5 about the members of the kingdom, verses 1 through 12, and the mission of the kingdom, the 13 through 16, and then from 17 to the end of the chapter, the message of the kingdom. Now we get into chapter 6. We go from the kingdom characteristics of chapter 5 to the kingdom conduct of chapter 6. And there's three specific areas. He talks about our worship, verses 1 through 18, the worship that gets God's attention, 1 through 18. And then 19 through 24, he talks about our wealth, the wealth that gains God's approval. And then verses 25 through 34, worry, the worry that gives up on God's ability. And we're into this section here, verses 1 through 18, in which Jesus is talking about our worship. He says, in fact, when you're part of the kingdom, it radically affects your worship in three areas. Worship in terms, one, of your giving. We talked about that last week. Two, of your praying. We'll begin talking about that this week. And three, of your fasting. That's in 2 or 3 weeks from now. Worship that gets God's attention is summarized in these areas: giving, praying, and fasting. And the reason that I switched was to talk mainly about communion, but the reason I'm switching back now is because of what Nathan had to say. Look at Matthew 6, verse 5. And really, this is going to be very quick and very to the point. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Our Father, you are magnificent and mighty and pure and holy and just. And now these few words from our Lord Jesus we want to think about. And I pray that you would give the Spirit in such measure that the word penetrates not only our minds but our hearts and our will. That as we come to you today, we might understand, and that you might do your miracle of work of grace in our hearts for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Together we say, amen. Last week, we talked about our giving, and Jesus just assumes that we will give. As part of the kingdom, you will give. But he is saying this, he really started out this chapter with this warning: don't be like the hypocrites, right? The hypocrites, we talked about those. Those are the people who wear the mask. They're one thing on the inside, but they pretend to be something else on the outside. These are the people, Jesus says, verse 1, who are doing things to be seen by men. Everything they do is a show. They view life as a platform on which to act out, to make people think things about themselves that really aren't true. And his overall command here to us, if we're going to live as part of the kingdom, is don't be like the hypocrites. Now, again, I said to you last week, I'll say again, He is not saying that you are hypocrites. We are, as God's people, we are not hypocrites. If you are a hypocrite, that means you're not a child of God. But he says, don't pattern your life after them. So the danger is not that you might be one, but that you might act like one. And Jesus says, don't act like one. Don't act like a hypocrite in your giving. And don't act like a hypocrite. Don't put on a show in your praying. Question, and I want you to raise your hand for this. How many of you have prayed in the last week? Raise your hand, nice and high. You prayed in the last week. All right, some of you haven't. Some of you have. How many of you just told a lie that you prayed in this last week? Okay. Don't be like the hypocrites in your praying. What do hypocrites do? Hypocrites put on a show. Now, Jesus says he has in mind here the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious elite. Those ones, they were kind of like, Paul called them little dogs, constantly nipping at his heels. They were always nipping at Jesus' heels, following him around somewhere, trying to trap him, you know? And these scribes and these Pharisees, these were really wacky people, because in one way, they had the super righteousness. In other words, everybody look at them and say, now, if somebody's righteous, it's going to be that guy over there. Look at that. I mean, that's a righteousness. Jesus said, don't be like them. Why? Because here's what they do. When they go to pray, these scribes and these Pharisees, these religious elite, they'll go to the busiest street corner. Whenever the time to pray would be, they would just so happen. Like, oh my goodness, look at that. It's the time to pray, and here I am on the busiest street corner. Imagine that. Well, since I'm so righteous, I guess I ought to pray now. And so you can just imagine this guy decked out in his robes with all of his fancy religious garb on, and he stands there, kind of takes his collars like this, and begins to pray. And Nathan read something that he might have prayed, you know, in that passage there in Luke 18, I thank you that I'm not like everybody else, but I'm righteous. And everybody would pass by. You can just imagine in your mind, you know, the hushed tones that everybody would speak as they were going, shh, don't disturb the Pharisee. Shh, don't disturb the scribe. He's praying. Oh, look at him. And make sure that they're at the best, the busiest place where everybody's going to see them, so that everybody would say, oh, look at him. He is so righteous. Now, my guess is that very few of you are subject to that kind of temptation. Probably very few of you just so happen to decide to have your devotions in the middle of Eastern Market at 10:30 in the morning on Friday. Like, you know what? I didn't even do my... Well, standing there right in front of the... You know, you're getting ready to order bananas at Good Country Fruit, and you're like, well, sorry, I got to have my... And there's a whole list of people behind you. Very few of you are like that. Very few of us just decide to have our devotions right in the middle of the Walmart. Probably need to if you're at Walmart, but that's another story for another time. But we are subject to the same kind of temptation. Because oftentimes our worship, in specific, our praying, is meant as a bait and switch, is meant deceptively. What do I mean by that? We're trying to convince the people that are around us or the people that hear us that we are, in fact, something that we're really not. Jesus is concerned about acting the hypocrite, playing, putting on a show, so that everybody else would look around you and say, look at that holiness that has emanated from him. Look at that righteousness that is emanating from her. Wow. And Christ says, that's your reward. In other words, it's sort of like Joel Osteen, you know, your best life now. I heard somebody say, well, the only way that this can be your best life now is if you're going to hell. If you get your reward now, there is nothing for what that is to come. There's nothing. That's it. You get everything now. So here's what Jesus said. I'm concerned with hypocrisy. I'm concerned. Jesus is saying to you today, he has the arrow of his word, the sword of his word, pointed right at your heart, and he is saying, I am concerned that you are acting the hypocrite, that you're praying, that you're worshiping, whatever, just to make people think that you're something that you're really not. How do we guard against that hypocrisy? How do we guard against the hypocrisy? Here's how we guard against that hypocrisy. You'll notice in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, and by the way, 12 times in chapter 6, Jesus says, your father. Friends, the way that you guard against hypocrisy is by being in a right relationship to God as your father. That was the whole point of chapter 5. Those Beatitudes. Remember I told you Dr. Zodiades used to tell me, blessed means somebody who is in a right relationship to God. The way that you guard against hypocrisy is by making sure you are in a right relationship to God the Father. And I want you to know that one of the best ways to tell whether or not you're in a right relationship to God the Father is by looking at your prayer life. Some of you can say, prayer life? I don't have a prayer life. Which could be an indication of something that's lacking in your relationship with your Father. You look at your prayer life and you can hear people come and they pray, and you can tell there's no oneness, there's no intimacy there at whatsoever. There's no relationship whatsoever in the way that they pray. And you can hear that and you say, I think there's a problem. I think there's a problem because I don't have that right relationship to God. And when you don't have the right relationship, when you cannot call God your Father, you see, being part of the kingdom doesn't mean just submitting to the king. It means being related to the Father, being adopted into the family. That's the question for you. Are you adopted into the family? Can you pray, Father? Or when you say that, does that seem really weird because you know you're lying? You know? Look, we could go out tomorrow today. I have three kids, Kara, Kristen, Caleb. I can go out today and we could be in the middle of a busy someplace and lots of people could come up to me and go, Father, Dad. And I would just, what? Who are you talking? Get away from me. I'm not your dad. But Kara, Kristen, or Caleb come up and they say, Daddy. And instantly I hear. Why? Because the relationship, that organic relationship is there. When you pray, do you pray, Father? Or is it just some kind of show? I guess that's my real question. You see, the only way that you can be prepared for this table this morning is if you can come and call him your Father and not be lying. The only way that you can come to this table today is if you can call him your Father and not just be putting on a show. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 very quickly. If one passage of Scripture has been on my mind lately, it's definitely been Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Because somebody might say, my wife, she grew up in the Free Will Baptist Church, and we talk about grace in that church, and they'd say, well, we can't talk too much about grace because otherwise you're going to have a bunch of people living in sin. You got to talk about the law, and you got to hammer them down a little bit because otherwise you're going to have people having too much of a good time. Don't want that. How are you going to get people to do what you want them to do? Here's what God says, verse 12, Romans 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So that sounds like Paul saying, hey, you have an obligation not to live according to the flesh. And somebody might say, ooh, Paul, legalism, I don't want to hear it. No, legalism, Everybody loves the charge, legalism. Paul's saying you have an obligation not to live according to the flesh. Why? Because verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die.
Well, Paul, that's condemnation.
But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Why? For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the what? They're sons of God, not slaves of God. What do you mean, Paul? Well, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons. And by that spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. Close as we can come to understand that, Daddy, intimate relationship. You see, the obligation is found in the relationship. I told you this before, I'll tell you again. Group of teenage girls going out one night, and one of the girls said, I don't want to go with you girls. I don't want to do that. They were talking about all kinds of wicked things. And all the girls making fun of her said, ha ha, what are you afraid your daddy's going to hurt you? She said, no, I'm afraid I'll hurt my daddy. That's Christianity, you see. That's Christianity. So when you pray, can you pray Father? Because you have that supernatural relationship that has been enabled by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because when he died on the cross, he actually took your sin and paid the price in full. But listen, he did not just pay the price for your sin. He paid the price for your soul so that he could make you a child of God, adopted as sons and daughters. So that now, if you are adopted as a son or daughter, you don't put on a show when you pray. But you pray to your Father in heaven. You pray to your Father who sees in secret, who is in secret, and he rewards you. Now last week we talked about that reward with the giving, and I said that reward is the giving itself. It is the contentment itself. What does it mean to be rewarded by your Father who sees in secret? That is the reward. It is enough to say, I have a relationship with the Father. That's the reward. Those people who pray are going for the praise of men on the outside. That's their reward. But those of us who are rightly related to God, that is our reward, isn't it? So can you pray, Father? Do you have a real relationship to God? Or were you like Nathan, just playing on the outside, thinking that it's about everything on the outside and nothing about your heart? Listen, I'm not saying that it won't go on the outside. Paul says you have an obligation not to live according to the flesh. But I'm saying it comes from the heart, right? We come to the table today of the Lord. We have elements here. Bread and juice. The bread is a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ. It does not become the body of Jesus Christ. There's no hocus pocus that goes on and becomes. It is just a reminder to us of the body of Christ, the real body of Jesus Christ. He's a real man. And the cup is a reminder to us of the blood of Jesus Christ that tells us that he died in our place. But you cannot come to this table unless you say, I know the Father. I am related to the Father through the Son, guaranteed by the Spirit, you see. When's the last time you prayed, our Father? We need to take some time this morning of thinking about this. We practice open communion. What I mean by that is, you don't have to be a member of the church. I know that there are many folks visiting with us today. We don't have to be a member of this church, but you have to be rightly related to the Father. It's not a religious thing. It's not something that you've worked yourself into, but if you can say, I am related to the Father, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not acting the hypocrite. And I invite you to the table today. The Bible says to examine yourself when you come to this table. I always say to examine yourself, number one, to make sure you're in the faith. Make sure that you're a true believer in Christ. And what better day than today? If you can't say, you know, I'm rightly related to the Father, if you can't say that in truth, if you're done playing games, what better day than today for you to say, yeah, that's it. I am repenting of my sin. I'm believing in the Lord Jesus Christ today. What better day today? Make sure you're in the faith. And two, if you say, I am in the faith, make sure that you're right where you need to be with the Lord. That there's no unrepented sin in your life. That you're not living as if, that you're not playing the hypocrite. And if you are, well, let's take some time to repent today. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the sole sufficient Savior for anyone who will trust Him. Make sure you're in the faith. One. And if you are you walking? Are you living the life that you need to be living? If not, and you say, for either one of those, you say, I'm not, and I'm not going to. Well, then, listen. When the elements come, don't take. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't just do this for show. It doesn't matter what that person next to you says. Don't, because you know what God says? God says, if you take this in an unworthy manner, I might take your life. That's pretty serious stuff. So don't just take this and say, oh yeah, I'm going to play on the outside. God will make it very clear. But if you'll come to Him today and you say, I've received the blessings of His grace. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been adopted into the family. I can call Him Father. And I invite you to the table today to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, just like He's told us to. Would you take just a few moments? And now, listen, I know there's lots of kids with us today. Kids, I want you to pay attention. What we're going to do now, we're just going to take a few moments to be quiet. And the reason we're being quiet so we can think about these things, make sure we're where we need to be. So your mom and dad are going to be quiet now, and maybe you have a question for them about that. It's okay to ask them, but let's make sure that we're thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He is for us and all that He's done for us. If you don't know the Lord today, today needs to be the day you come to Him. I'll be sitting right up front. You come to me and say, Pastor Joe, I need to make this right. If there's an area of sin, repent of it today. Just take a few moments to examine yourselves before we go on.